The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
You are now muted.
Hello, Libra Planet. This next talk is You Wouldn't Hate Artificial Scarcity, and will be presented by Adrian Cochran. Adrian is a programmer who's worked on visualizing shared vocabularies with SKOS, privacy-conscious blogging websites, and various contract work. And I'm really looking forward to it. Please, Adrian.
Okay. Hi. My name is Adrian Cochran, and I run my own software standards consultancy with my father. I volunteer for the local climate action group, and I enjoy seeing just how hard it is to develop my own web browsers in whatever free time I have remaining. So far, it's going surprisingly well. I'm wrapping up one that communicates entirely via voice and arrow keys, and now I'm starting one designed for interaction via TV remotes, improving Haskell's text rendering libraries while I'm at it. But I have a problem. Who would use a web browser, especially a smart TV one, which can't view, say, Netflix? I'm certainly not going to get permission to support Netflix. Not that this is my only hurdle. Browser devs less hostile to them than me have failed to get this permission. And besides, I don't want to have to ask for permission to succeed. Because in order to play videos from a streaming-only disservice, which for some bizarre reason includes even explicitly anti-capitalist services like Means TV, this streaming-only paradigm is that ingrained. I'd need to ask Google, Microsoft, or not that they're offering it, Apple, for permission to embed some of their proprietary software, which will check you haven't exercised your software freedom to make changes to my free software. Unacceptable. Or I could hack around it. I have stumbled across the public key Google used to hide on our computers to decrypt authorized videos for playback, but that would be illegal and very fragile. That's right, I'm talking about DRM, Digital Rights Manacles, or whatever retronym you find more accurate over the official Digital Rights Management, aka Content Protection. Hollywood, etc., are so paranoid about their customers pirating their intellectual property, or so they claim, that they're willing to spend time and productivity into making the economy less productive. Inefficiency can be profitable. Think about it. We're taking something nearly as available as air and enforcing artificial scarcity to demand people pay for it. There's got to be a better way to fund the initial creation, which there is. I'll share some counterexamples later. I don't think I need to spend much time convincing this audience that DRM's bad and fundamentally opposed to software freedom. Instead, I prefer to focus on the interesting question. What do we do about it? If you pirate any remotely pop culture, you'll be cited as the reason why these unjust anti-circumvention laws exist. If you watch them legitimately, you'll be incorrectly counted as supporting these laws. If you avoid pop culture entirely, you may struggle to socialize and lose your influence. A Xanatos gambit, to use TV Tropes terminology. I'm sure Tim Berners-Lee thought he was being reasonable when he said this quote, steamrolling objections to making encrypted media extensions a W3C recommendation. But unfortunately, in this Xanatos gambit, the reasonable is unreasonable. That's what makes it so challenging. So what's the alternative? We need to find and share great yet obscure entertainment, maybe even create it ourselves. We need to aggregate lists of them to promote. We need free culture. Though, to be clear, what's on screen fits looser constraints. We need media we can enjoy without supporting a cause we fundamentally disagree with, which we can legally collect on our hard drives if we want, without worrying about when DRM's going to take them away from us. Maybe even reference these in your software's documentation and unit tests. Not that I don't enjoy all the Monty Python, Hitchhiker's Guide, and Doctor Who references, which are common today. This approach can be quite unfair to our cinematic history, since Hollywood, BBC, etc. still claim to own almost all of it, but that's a different copyright issue. The goal here being to undermine DRM peddlers' talking points, to help entertainment succeed without their aid. Then again, there's all these billboards preaching that everyone knows who Batman, Sonic the Hedgehog, Wonder Woman, Cinderella, etc. are. Dr. Sally Grissom doesn't get the same treatment. All their money goes into making the best found audio time travel Cold War conspiracy show on the entire internet, a series of tubes filled with cats. So others might feel excluded when we try to discuss the media we enjoy, then immediately go on to discuss, say, Spider-Man No Way Home, without seeing the duplicity, without seeing how they sound like Doug Eiffel to you as much as you do to them. Ironically, the less you care about this issue, the more Puritan you become. Even when this is not stated explicitly, you feel it. And to be clear, the people aren't the problem. The self-reinforcing situation, the billboards are. This free culture can also serve to advertise what's possible with free software, whilst ensuring those things are, in fact, possible, like with the diverse and always charming Blender Open Movies, which shows up all over our advertising for free software in order to avoid explicitly endorsing law-breaking. But what's truly vital is just to give us superb art to enjoy. Incidentally, the concept artist behind several of these, David Revoy, creates a great webcomic, Pepper and Carrot, with similar appeal. Personally, I've really been getting into audio shows like the Magnus Archives, Wolf 359, Magus Elgar, and the Red Panda Adventures. I can review these and more on my personal site at adrian.geek.nz/movies. The Magnus Archives. Our top-notch British urban horror, framed by a librarian organizing and audio recording eyewitness testimonies. It's a perfectly spooky concoction of the mundane, supernatural, unsolved mystery, and skepticism. Wolf 359 is about a small crew orbiting red dwarf star Wolf 359 aboard the USS Hephaestus space station looking for extraterrestrial life. It's amusingly relatable, especially in COVID times. Magus Elgar is a fantastical ensemble comedy about two magi tidying up after a particularly disastrous experiment with the aid of two scientists from another world they met in the process, and the Red Panda Adventures is about a billionaire who finds being a Batman Zorro Pink Pimpernel style superhero does more good for Great Depression and World War II era Toronto, Canada. It's got absolutely everything you could possibly want from a superhero story whilst making it all fit together effortlessly. Furthermore, most podcasts are DRM-free, where they're not owned by some monopolistic walled garden like Spotify. Interestingly, in around 2000, Greg Taylor got professional assistance to write, direct, and co-star the superhero audio dramas he always wanted. 5 years later, technology had advanced enough he could homemake and distribute them himself at higher production quality with most of the same voice cast. Now with a different and more emotionally resonant tone. And no one could tell him he couldn't continue it for a whole decade, plus other mediums, following the story to its natural conclusion. In story, it's explicitly stated that these pilots and the main show are set in separate parallel universes. We know because one Baboon McSmoothie, Man of a Thousand Faces, crossed over to steal a device to save his world, and warn about World War II whilst he was at it. The Red Panda found his name just silly. We can drive similar technological progress. We can leave the well-trodden billboard-blazed entertainment path. There's other stuff you can enjoy if you look. Perhaps you'll enjoy it more like I do. Maybe create your own if you want. The production quality a small group can achieve today is incredible. Just have fun and show DRM is unjustified while you're at it. Because DRM is perhaps the current knot which must be untied before free software can obtain mainstream appeal. It requires you to concede the proprietary premise in order to participate in pop culture, or get vilified as a pirate. We can't have that. So can we change pop culture, however little, or maybe fragment it? Let me share with you a teaser I assembled of some of this art which deserves to enter pop culture.
You are now unmuted.
Yep.
The name's Justice. Jack Justice.
They say all's fair in love and war. Just like everything they say, a little context usually helps. A fella almost never makes use of that old saw unless he's just done something monumentally unfair, usually in neither of those exalted states, but somewhere in the vastness between them. Like, say, the industrial meatpacking industry. Trixie and I had just spent 2 weeks on a case for
Sally
the owner
Grissom,
of the largest
September
rendering 8th, plant in the city
1946.
Limits. A good detective is a little...
So after my somewhat successful accident with the timepiece's null field generator last month, we've been trying to take the technology to the next level, and I think we're ready. Oh, remember last week when I said I was working on a new name for it? I think I've settled on The Cage. Controlled Asynchronous Generator Environment. Get it? I worked on that for, like, hours, probably. You may call it frivolous, but I firmly believe in the efficiency of descriptive backronyms. So ever since I started working for Donovan, we've had trouble showing off a practical use for the timepiece technology. We tried a dozen ways to show off the uses of time travel, but without a perspective that follows an altered timeline, an observer could never see that anything had actually changed. But I think The Cage is what I've been looking for. After 3 years of working on the timepiece, and a year and change working on the original Higgs inhibitor array in the 21st century, I finally stumbled into something actually demonstrable. I admit that it's too little too late to save the rest of ODAR, but to be perfectly honest, I don't know that I would have been able to help them anyway. There's a reason no one in my time remembers Polvo, New Mexico. The Manhattan Project had to
meet. There are places in this world that humanity was never supposed to see. Walled in by mountains of burning black rock, isolated by a choking canopy of poison flora, woods where tooth, claw, and hunger still sit atop the food chain. Long before our kind ever set foot in these mountains, when the peaks of the Blue Ridge towered above the stars and the heart of the plateau still rolled with ridges tough as pine knobs, darkness was brought here in cages made of fear. Our tongues do not have the shape to speak the true names of what they are. And that's are, not were. They are
hunger, I really need therapy.
Consumption.
Kind of thing. I mean, I'm not, you know,
lust.
Depressed.
All the
or
things
suicidal.
That settle under the heart and
I mean,
below
nice
the
life.
Ribcage.
A
they
like,
are the cancer
nice
that will one day eat the edges of this
cat.
Universe and
things
leave
are good.
Nothing in its place.
I just, yeah,
they
I saw your listing in the paper and it
evil.
Looked intriguing. That's all.
They are not. A
what about it intrigued
the Christian
you?
Devil.
Well, they therapy for the strange and unusual. I just. It sounded, well, unusual. And do you like things that are unusual? No, I would not say that, exactly. Then why did the listing attract you? What did you mean by it? I mean, why put a listing in the paper for therapy in the first place? It seems a little weird.
I've learned that some people have problems that aren't exactly found in psychology textbooks, and a lot of those people don't know where to turn for help. That's where I come in.
What do you mean? What kinds of problems?
I'm afraid I can't discuss any of my past or present patients.
Right, of course you can't. I'm sorry.
Come on out! Come
it's
on,
just...
take what's coming to you.
I think I might qualify for that.
You think you're funny? Laugh this
off! Why do you say that?
I'll kill you. I will. No. No! Marty! Marty, something's in here, Marty! No. No! What are you?
You're right, you know that, Bill?
What's that?
Sometimes fear is the next best thing.
No, keep away! Who are you? What are you?
I am the spirit of justice, the hand of retribution. I am the man who will make all you cowards pay.
Please, no!
You have heard my name. Heard it whispered in fear. Soon you and all your kind will know it well. And before you try and feed off the fear of the innocent, you will tremble at the thought
of
the Red Panda!
So let's all just stop, okay? I think you're both great. I think you both do your jobs really, really, really well. I think that you're both intelligent and have good judgment, and you can definitely find a way to compromise and work together. And just in case it wasn't already obvious, I am absolutely terrified of both of you. But making me choose a side between the woman who has the military authority to shoot me and the woman who makes my oxygen is only gonna end in tears. Now, something is seriously up with Dr. Hilbert. I don't know if he's under some kind of hypnosis or mind control, or if he's just gone madder than he normally is, but he's defecting to Team Mutant Plant Monster. Right now, he's feeding his new boss all the fertilizer we have left in the supply shed. And the last thing we need is our deadly stowaway growing more teeth. The fact that I'm trying to get the two of you to do the responsible thing is scary enough. But I would really like to take care of the situation before we reach Audrey 2 territory.
The book says you have to channel your spirit with the desire to fulfill your spell. When you say it, you have to mean it. That,
and I actually know what the words mean.
What?
Inflex Scarpetal cannot!
Bailey! I thought we were making coffee!
We're making fire coffee! Die, beans! Face my mastery over the elements!
My totem broke. A bunch of baby birds had
just woken up. Really went crazy. Carlos looked nervous. I've never seen that kind of look on someone with that strong of a jaw. He left in a hurry. Told us to evacuate the building. But then, who would be here to talk sweetly to all of you out there? Settling in to be another clear night and pretty evening here in Night Vale. I hope all of you out there have someone to sleep through it with. Or at least good memories of when you did.
Do I look okay? You've got a little thing on your
phone.
Good
night, listeners.
Oh, thanks. So, just out of curiosity, what do we do now?
We do this. I want Mickey Finn and I want him tonight. I want him delivered to the usual place at 1 o'clock, or my friend and I start taking this personally. Understand? Excellent. Come on, Red.
Foxy, you sure know how to show a girl a good time, you know that?
Okay. Cool. Thanks. In conclusion, Greg Taylor's my favorite Batman. I'm open for questions and feel free to recommend some of your own favorites.
Because of buffering issues, some of the people on the channel I think are in another time zone, so they may take a while for them to catch up at this point. But I have some. I'm going to start right off and ask, what is SKOS, since it's in the title, and I don't know what it is.
So in my personal description, it's a vocabulary. It's a format for describing vocabularies, words we use to categorize things.
Okay, very good. Well, if it's questions for me, it could fall into just an old-time radio kind of fan fest here, because as you put up the montage, I recognize Dakota Ring Theater, and my favorite has got to be Blackjack Justice and Trixie Dixon. Those are the...
Yeah, those are great. I love them.
Really enjoyed the Abigail Brannigan Detectives. Those are also another good series. Oh, yeah. Who would have thought we'd invested in about this cat?
I don't think I've gotten that far through their showcase.
What's your favorite underdog story that it doesn't get a lot of representation, but is one that you think should get a listen?
Well, all of these are kind of underdogs in a way. I certainly love Magus Elgar. It's I think it's got fantastic educational potential, because it really it communicates very well how scientific, well, it uses the allegory of magic, discovery works. And it's very funny to boot, so.
And I didn't see escape pod mentioned there, and I kind of have to throw out an escape pod because it was an early podcast that was released DRM-free, and they paid their authors, and it was good stories.
Ah, cool. I'll check it out.
Escape pod, go from the beginning, the early years. I guess my favorite of that would be Death Traps for Beginners, which is just hilarious. Oh, yeah. being a, you know, not everybody's into the audio, though, but I am an old Star Trek fan, and I'll say the original series version of that. So I'll also recommend Star Trek Continues. StarTrekContinues.com is a fan fiction produced. And if you haven't seen it, check it out.
They're very good.
Well, I think, unfortunately, the stream is probably delayed so much for some of the other people, we're not going to get anything other than just you and me chatting about it this time. Everybody will have to watch the videos slightly time-shifted. But I agree with you right there. The thrilling radio hour is really good. I love those. I already mentioned a couple of my favorites here. I'll say, you know, We Fix Space Junk is relatively new, but The Amelia Project is great. There's just so many good titles out there that are available, and they're all DRM free, and I usually listen to them as I'm doing other things where I can spend some time doing both, and they're awesome.
Video, the technology is still improving to the point where more amateur productions have equal production quality, but there are signs that it's getting close, and Blender's always great, as I said. So looking forward to see what comes out that way in a couple years.
Well, I'd recommend to everybody to go check out these free, DRM-free media that's available out there. They're definitely out there. I've been enjoying them. And with that, I guess we'll conclude the talk.
And I'll just add that I keep a list of them at adrian.geek.nz/movies. And of course, Defective by Design has their own list. So... yeah, that'll get you started.